The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.
I'll just be conscious of that. Do you think sex work should be completely legal in Ireland? Now, what I mean is, by that really is making it legal, regulated, without the kind of stigma that's attached to it. Would you support that notion or that idea? I read an interesting opinion piece in the Journal today, written by Danny Rigg, who is a modern history and politics student. And I'm going to read just a little bit of it, right, just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. And he says, last month, I marched in Copenhagen Pride with sex workers, writes, groups operated the Sex Alliance. They renovated ambulances intended to provide street workers with a safer, healthier and more dignified working environment. The issue piqued my interest a few years ago, as it is an intersection of numerous issues: workers' rights, women's rights, migrant rights and bodily autonomy, which is something, by the way, we spoke about in the referendum recently. He goes on to say, the language of Sex Alliance Group is one of rights, not rescue. In trying to avoid adopting the role of knight in shining armour, riding on horseback to save the damsel in distress, they are working around the legal situation in Denmark to find a grassroots approach to what has long remained a reality. Sex workers exist, there is no sign of them disappearing, and they deserve the same rights as other workers. All labour involves selling our bodies in some form, so what is the difference with a sex worker? And I get to that. That's the most important thing he actually said. And I'm going to get to that in a few minutes on why he said that. So let me come back to that. He said, is it that sex or the sex is exploitation? We recognise the dangers and the exploitation involved with mining, farming or factory work. But instead of seeking to ban these industries entirely, we seek to improve working conditions. Obviously talking about health and safety, to increase pay and to allow workers to organise it in unions so as to have more power. With sex work, we seek to criminalise either those working in the industry or their clients. In doing so, we push them into the shadows, possibly limiting their range of clientele and stopping them from working in those conditions. Now, I have to say, in reading this, I find it hard to disagree with anything actually Danny has written. I find it an intriguing article. It's in the Journal if you want to go and have a look at it. It is true that we all sell our bodies in some shape or form, or we sell our skills. Construction workers sell their bodies because, look, the average construction worker, by the time he gets to 50, if he's carrying blocks all the time, his back is going to be in bits. For example, well, let's take my job, for example. I'm selling my opinions. A lot of people have opinions. You don't shout them out on the radio every day, so you don't have to take the flack for them. So I'm putting myself out on a limb. So in saying that, I'm sacrificing something. My thoughts, my opinions. I share everything with you. People sell their minds on a regular basis in IT jobs and other office jobs. And as I said, I'm currently sitting here talking to you, selling my voice, in some sense. Now, like Danny said in his article, some jobs are dangerous. We don't try to ban them. We look to improve safety for workers. However, when it comes to sex workers, who freely enter this business, we look to make it difficult for them to do their job by either criminalising them or, as we did, criminalising their clients. In March 2017, the Criminal Law Sexual Offences Act came into force in Ireland. The Act's most important focus was on child exploitation, which we already had laws against. But Part 4 criminalises the purchase of sex while decriminalising the sale of sex. So while it's not illegal for someone to sell sex, it's impossible to get someone to buy it because that's illegal, meaning the industry has to go underground for fear of prosecution on the client's part. Now, let me be clear on this. I am talking about sex workers who freely and knowingly want to enter the industry. There was a name for them in the industry, and they're called the happy hookers. And I'm not talking about anyone who was trafficked because, you know, that's wrong on every single level. And we already had laws against that anyway. We didn't need to bring in new laws. It's illegal to traffic somebody, and anybody who's responsible for trafficking even either an adult or a child or forcing children to go into prostitution in this country should be buried. So we're not talking about trafficking. We're talking about people willing to sell their own bodies, be they male or female. So I want to get your opinions on this today. Do you think it should be completely legal, with no loopholes, no barriers, for a person to be a sex worker, if they want to? The only thing that stops this from happening is morals. That's the only thing. I wouldn't do it. But then again, I wouldn't do a lot of jobs. I wouldn't be a clamper. Unless it was absolutely necessary for me to be a clamper, I wouldn't be a clamper. It's not my kind of job. No more than a clamper might want to do my job. I wouldn't be a construction worker. I wouldn't be a member of an Garda Síochána. I wouldn't be a Lewis driver. I'd be bored out of my head. So some jobs appeal to some people, some jobs don't. No more than I want to be a prostitute. I don't want to be a prostitute, but some people do. That's fine. It's their bodies. Why do we stop people from being prostitutes? Why do we stop them from doing it? Why do we feel that we have the right to tell them what they can and can't do? Let me know what you think at 53544. So the question I'm simply asking you is, leaving aside the current legislation that we have at the moment, because that obviously inhibits it, the business, the question quite simply is, should we allow prostitution in this country or escort services with no barriers, no loopholes for any person to be a sex worker if they want to be? Yes, you believe they should be allowed to. It's their own bodies. We did speak about that in the referendum, wasn't it? That's what we said. That's what women said in this country. It's our bodies. We can do what we want with it. Surely that still applies, and the same should apply to the law of prostitution. Let me know what you think of 53544. That's 53544. Yes, we should allow it. Or no, you believe we have to have some sort of moral standing in society and you just think it's wrong. Let me know what you think at 53544. Let me go to Denise. Denise, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Denise?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Good. Denise, I mean, look, it's an interesting argument, and Danny makes a really good argument in the Journal that, you know, I have the right to go on the radio and talk and sometimes put myself in danger if that's what I want to do. You know, people have the right to go into construction and destroy their backs by the time they're 40 or 50 years of age. Should somebody have the right to sell their body only because we morally think it's different?
I think anybody has the right to sell their body if that's how they want to term it. I think ultimately what disgusts people is that it's the exchange of money for the service. That's what people feel is low and that it's below a person. And like you said, we sell ourselves in different aspects of our lives every day of the week, whether it's a doctor or whether it's, like you do, your opinion or a journalist or anything else. It just happens to involve something a little bit more intimate with your body, and that's obviously where people don't approve. You know?
I mean, when you say it's more intimate, that's because we are morally judging. It's depending on our moral compass, of course. You know, we're talking about genitalia, obviously. It involves your genitalia or something a little bit that should be more private, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I actually personally like to think of it as that, you know, most ladies who do this job are actually in the business of selling sexual fantasy. Mm. That's the way I look at it, because ultimately that's what they're doing. A lot of them come along and it's not just about, you know, getting their rocks off and having straight sex. It's about guys coming in and actually having fantasies. It's what's going on in their minds. And I mean, let's face it, the majority of men who are, you know, having a morning masturbation session in the toilets at work or in bed, I mean, come on, they're having some sort of a fantasy in their head while they're pulling themselves off.
Okay, but let's just keep the language to the minimum if we can on daytime radio. Okay. But I do understand the point you're making. Okay, so, I mean, but it's primarily women too. I don't know how many male prostitutes there are in Ireland, so this primarily affects women really more so than anything else. I mean, there's probably very limited amount, probably 1 or 2% are probably gigolos. But generally speaking, it's women who are prostitutes or escorts. But the legislation that we brought in 2017, which prevented this, you know, the client from purchasing sex and decriminalised the prostitute, what has that done to the industry? Has it just pushed it a little bit more underground? Has it made escorts a little bit fearful of, you know, where they can and can't communicate?
No, I think initially, like anything, when these scaremongering things come along, people obviously run scared. And I had phone calls from clients telling me, oh, my God, you know, what's going to happen? And initially, once the whole hullabaloo died down, the business is still thriving. Sex is absolutely, the sex industry is thriving in Ireland. I will say one thing that I have noticed, and I can't say if it's anything to do with the law change, but there has been a decrease of at least 250 to 300 women advertising on the Escorts Ireland website. Now, I don't know if that's anything to do with the law. It could be to do with the fact that probably a lot of clients these days, from what I hear, from what they tell me, and other Irish girls, say that the majority of these clients are just fed up meeting. And I'm not being racist, I'm not being untoward to any of these foreign girls, but a lot of them just can't put two sentences together in English. And they don't feel they're getting a service or, you know, a value.
Okay, so they want the fantasy of sex, but they want to be able to have a conversation with them
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, absolutely. And 99.9% of clients, in fact, I don't think I've ever met a client who said he didn't want to have a good conversation. And a lot of the clients that I have who are regulars, I mean, I'm only on a part-time basis nowadays, but a lot of them, most of my clients will always say, what I love about you is that I can have a conversation with you. And an awful lot of them, it's loneliness. It's a need to connect. It's not just on a physical level, but it's on a mental level. They want you to listen to their problems. I mean, people out there might think, come on, you're talking crap. But I mean, that's the truth of it.
Okay, well, I mean, Denise, you're in the industry. And yeah. You know, I mean, The word happy hooker has been used for many years as the woman, I suppose, to label the woman who's quite happy to be in the business and hasn't been trafficked. And I don't want to talk about trafficking because that's a separate issue. And the two get confused very easily. That's like saying, I'm going to force somebody to work in construction. In other words, they become a slave. So you're happy to be in the industry, or are you happy to be in the industry?
I'm pretty much okay about it. You know what's great about it, Niall, is that the choice is there. I mean, as they say, you know, as I always used to
but
say...
Is the choice really there, Denise? Or is it a case that a lot of women are the happy hooker because they need the money? And in other words, and what Ruhama have told us in the past is that a lot of women feel it necessary to do it, that they just need the money.
I think ultimately it does come down to the money, but there's other situations where you'll see some women have taken breaks from work for careers. Some of them are out of marriages or relationships. They're possibly in a situation where they are short of money. Some people have debts, and then other people just do it on the side just for extra money at the weekend. Of course, it's about the money. It's not about having sex. And
well, because if you're good at it, and if you're, you know, you're good at picking up the clients, the money can be quite good.
Oh, very.
There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, if you can provide a really good service, you provide fantasies or whatever the particular type, which is a lot of what I do. I do a lot of sort of fetishes and domination and stuff. And there's a lot of money in that particular field of it.
Why do you think there's more money in that field? Is it because there's guys out there who may be married? I don't know what percentage of your clients would be married versus what single. But is it a case that, you know, they're happily married, maybe they're in love, but their partner is not providing that fantasy or, you know, or they don't even want to broach that situation with their partner?
I mean, I've had guys who are married that will say, look, my wife is very vanilla. That's how he put it to me. My wife is very vanilla and she wouldn't wear high heel boots. I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of men who've told me that their wives won't wear high heel shoes or boots. They think that they're slutty. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. And so they go to you for that bit of a fantasy.
And they don't have sex, consequently. They just masturbate at the end. And let me tell you, a lot of them do feel guilty. I know from what they're telling me, and they're nervous about being caught. And they wouldn't break up the relationship. They wouldn't. They'd hate to lose the relationship. That's what they
So they're basically coming to you to fulfill a need.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, but getting back to, you know, is it dangerous to turn around and say, well, okay, it's going to be a free-for-all, off we go? I mean, I don't know if there's any country that actually has a free-for-all, because most countries that do have legalised are regulated.
But no, it is free-for-all. Nobody's arresting anybody. Nobody's getting caught. I mean,
well, the law suggests that the clients are breaking the law, but unless you have a member of an Garda Síochána under the bed watching the exchange of money, it's going to be quite difficult to actually do something. So then the law is kind of pointless. So if the law is pointless, all it's doing is stigmatising the work.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, can I just make a point? We've got a gay Taoiseach and the Pope came here last weekend. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you know, as much
the
as
hypocrisy, liberal,
and we have all these wonderful things. We've got gay marriage, which is fantastic. I think everybody should be entitled to live a free life. But, you know, why on earth? You know, why on earth stigmatise this? It's everywhere. It's happening on your own doorstep. You know, and
see, I know there are people listening today and say, well, fair play, Denise, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do, and that's great. But I don't want to live in a country where we're going to have red light districts everywhere and girls hanging out of windows with knickers on them and, you know, and wandering down the streets, you know, asking every man, you know, is he all right for a quick one? So, I mean, they don't want to see that kind of society. They don't want it to turn into Amsterdam, essentially.
I completely get that, and I agree with that. I don't think anybody should have to parade the street and have knickers in the window or be sitting in window tops. I mean, I think that we can all live cleanly and work quietly and discreetly behind our own closed doors.
But if we had no laws and loopholes, you wouldn't have to live discreetly and quietly. And the whole idea of this article that was put by Danny Regan, I don't know whether you've read the article in the Journal, it's quite an interesting article. He's saying that, you know, it's to take the stigma away from it. Because I'm sure, Denise, you know, it's not something that you advertise to all your mates and friends and extended family. Listen, by the way, I'm a sex worker.
No, of course not.
So there's a stigma attached. There's a level of shame attached to it, is there?
There would more be that people would judge me. That's where it comes down to. And you know that people can be very narrow-minded and very judgmental. And there are certain very close friends that know, and my family that would know. My sister knows. Mm. I have a.
And what did your sister say? What does your sister think of what you do?
Initially, she when I first told her, she was quite shocked, and she said, "My God, is that not very dangerous?" And I said, "Well, no." And then I talked to her about it, and she learned a lot about it, and she said, "You know what?
I think I'll do it myself." No,
she wouldn't be in the position, but basically, just she said, "Well, you know what?" She said, "I think I have more respect for the guy that goes out and pays for it than the gobshite that goes down the pub and chats up the nice girl. At least if a guy's just looking for sex and he wants it, let him go pay for it."
Yeah. You know? And by the way, how many, I mean, obviously because you're in the industry, you might have some knowledge. How many gigolos are there? How many male prostitutes are there? Because I'm assuming the majority would be dealing with gay customers.
Well, would you believe so much for the men making the laws, the amount of straight men that have phoned me saying, where can I get a job as a sex worker?
Right, okay. Well, I think to be honest with you, most men would do it for free anyway. So I mean, okay, but I would assume that the majority of male sex workers are probably dealing with male clients.
They're gay guys.
Gay guys, yeah.
Transgenders, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, and transgender is obviously becoming a big thing as well. There's quite a few transgender escorts, I imagine.
Massive. And I mean, the amount of heterosexual men that are visiting transgender guys, guys that still have a willy, but they're dressed up as women and they perform services with them. I once, a few years back, worked in an apartment down the country and there was a transgender young guy in the other room dressed as a woman. I mean, they were kicking the door down. I was quiet. I wasn't doing even a third of the
business. Why do you think that is? Is there a curiosity factor or something?
I think there's a huge bi-curious, that's the name for it, factor amongst heterosexual, not all heterosexual men, obviously, but certainly there is.
Right, okay. I would imagine that more so with women, there's a bi-curious aspect. And I'm pretty sure you've probably had women call you.
I've had a couple of women asking could they have a lesbian experience. I will do couples, but I won't do a woman on her own. It's not me.
It's not your thing, yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, well, hang on for a second, because Niall, you're on Classic Hits. How are you, Niall?
Hey, Niall. How are things?
Good. Niall, you would support it, but what's your but?
Well, but it means that if you did support it, taking an Niall, that...
Are you on a speakerphone or something there, Niall? It's difficult to hear you, but just move your mouth closer to it if you can.
How's that, Niall?
Yeah, it's much better. Yeah, thanks.
No, what I was saying there was that if you make it legal, then you might force her underground because then they become tax compliant.
Oh, I understand. So all of a sudden they're going to be working on the black market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so in other words...
I pay tax.
Okay, so you do pay tax in these, do you?
I do indeed, yeah. I mean, I have to pay my stamps every year and keep myself in the system.
Right, I mean, I'm assuming you don't pay it on at all, Denise, do you?
Sorry, do I pay a what?
I'm assuming you don't pay tax on every penny that you're earning.
No, of course not.
No, but you decide, obviously, how much you want to pay.
I just give in my accounts and, you know, I just...
And what are you registered as? You're not registered as a sex worker, right?
Self-employed consultant.
Right, I'm assuming that the revenue commissioners don't have a category for sex worker.
No, that's why we don't. You know what? If they did, they'd be out to bust us all. They'd be checking the safe in the attic.
Yeah. So do you think you know, as self-employed people, do you think most, you know, escorts would be happy to pay tax? I don't think they would they?
I think so. I mean, we need to keep ourselves in the system. I mean, I do have to qualify at some point for the old age pension. So if I don't pay my stamps,
so yeah,
20-30 years from now, no, not 20 years.
So you're not paying a pension, are you? It's not a pensionable job, is it?
No, it's not. You know, you just got to use your money and save it and invest it wisely. You know,
Niall, would you ever? I mean, I'm not asking you if you have, but would you ever use the services of a prostitute?
No, I have never had.
Right.
I don't know whether I would because I wasn't put in that position. You know what I mean?
And what's that position?
As in, if I had to use them.
Right, what gets you to the point that you would have to use an escort, i.e. you're single and you're not kind of hooking up? And
yeah, well, you're
so single. Are you saying to me sex is a need? It's a must-have, is it?
Well, it is. It's part of, I mean, yeah, your bodily, how would you say, well, I won't say function as such, but it's sort of this thing that our brain clicks.
We crave it. We crave to have intimacy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. We crave it, and then all of a sudden, hang on a second, we need to have it.
Mm.
Okay, where am I going to get it? When I can't, I'll pay for it. And then there's no, there's no connection, there's no...
And do you think guys who go to, you know, and use the services of escorts, do you think they're worried about the legislation that, you know, if indeed they're caught... Their names could end up in a newspaper. You know, they could end up getting a hefty fine from a judge. And if their name ends up in a newspaper using the services of a prostitute, well, essentially that could destroy their careers as well.
Well, the only thing is, I think the best thing there, Noel, is the actual... Well, aren't we talking about the ones that are on the streets?
No, well, I don't think there's that many on the streets anymore anyway. I mean, they all operate through websites.
Nobody's on the street. I mean, it's the last...
The days of the shorts, black leather skirt, the fishnet stockings and high heels are kind of gone, aren't they, Denise? I imagine.
I don't think they ever dress like that, actually, on the streets. Not,
it's
not
a kind of stereotypical view we have, isn't it, of the girl on the side of the road with her exactly. her leg out.
Exactly. And, I mean, getting back to your point, when you said if it's a free-for-all, that means the streets are going to be littered. Look, I think everybody, every human being deserves a little bit of decency and respect. I think.
Yeah, but the reason they're not on the streets, Anise, is because it's very obvious and you can get caught quite easily. The websites, you know, that are around at the moment, there's two or three of the main websites that deal with them. They're based in the UK, I think, aren't they? They're not based in Ireland.
Yeah, they are.
For legal reasons. So it's safe for the women to be advertising on these sites.
Absolutely, and it's also safer for the men. Men don't want to be seen picking up somebody on a street. There could be an undercover cop. Men have their fears too.
Well, that happened in Limerick, Gomac, a few years ago. That's right. There was police officers dressed up as prostitutes. That would be a sight to behold. But
yes, that's another story, consequently, because I met a gentleman down the country in County Offaly whom I visited who knew one of the men who was charged.
There was 29 men charged at the time. Yeah, one was a school principal, I remember rightly. He took his own life.
Yeah, it was horrendous. One of them was a taxi driver just waiting for business, and this undercover cop came on him and just got him and said, "You are looking for this." And he said, "You've got to be joking me. I thought you were looking for a fare." And the poor man, I think that was one of the older men, the poor man was on suicide watch. I mean, that's ludicrous. Again, it's...
But almost, there's a smell of entrapment from that, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the man didn't do anything.
Okay, well, do me a favour, stay there if you can, Denise. I want to come to Anya after the break, who believes a country would loosen no morals whatsoever if we suddenly legalised prostitution tomorrow. Well, look, prostitution was technically legal in this country up to 2017. Well, there was a grey area. The sale or purchase of sex wasn't illegal, but it was illegal to solicit. I think, Denise, am I getting that wrong or right?
No, that's correct, yes.
So, in other words, up to 2017, until we brought in this legislation, Francis Fitzgerald actually brought in this legislation in tandem with suggestions from Ruhama. You could legally go out and hire the services of a prostitute as long as there was no soliciting on either side. But that's kind of hard to prove anyway, isn't it?
Well, it's actually a sort of a very hypocritical argument.
Because somebody has to solicit to approach each other, I suppose. You have to solicit, don't you?
Exactly. All right. Kind of like, hi, you're very attractive. Would you like to pay me for sex? Yeah, no problem.
Let's stay there for a second, because Denise does work in the sex industry. Anya, you're a classic kid. How are you doing, Anya?
Hello,
Anya. Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
A bit...
What?
Depressed when I hear all this, what's going on.
What's going on, Anya?
When I hear of this legalized prostitution.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You don't misuse your body like that. It's degrading.
Well, you don't have to misuse your body like that, Anya.
Yeah, but don't make it legal. I cannot stop anybody from doing what they like, but I don't want it to be legal.
Well, you do. Well, then you are trying to stop people from doing what they like.
No, they'll do it anyway.
Yeah, but you want to make it illegal that if they're caught, they could get into trouble for it.
Yeah, but there won't be. Who was caught, yes?
Well, you may not think, but what happens, you know, by making something illegal is...
You know that girl there, Denise? Is it Denise?
Denise, yeah.
Denise, yes.
Have you got a boyfriend?
No.
Have you got a husband?
No, I'm not married,
Are you going
no.
to get a boyfriend?
Are you going to get one?
Yeah, so I can imagine a fella coming along and saying, "Hello, Denise. What do you work at? I'm a prostitute." You're going to find it pretty difficult.
But is that the kind of thing she says on the first date? I'm sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Anya, you're kind of being a bit of a hypocrite. This needs to be said, right? What you're doing is you're saying to Denise that she should feel some sort of shame.
Yeah.
For what she's doing, right?
Yeah,
and that's your view, and you're entitled to your view of that. That's fine, right? But by you suggesting it should be illegal, and it is, you're then creating the shame. By having it illegal, you're making it shameful.
The shame is there anyway.
But it's not. It's only there in your mind.
It is.
It's not in hers.
Most people that I talk to, I don't know what kind of people you talk to.
But Denise, are you ashamed of what you do?
Absolutely
personally.
Not.
And there's all these men coming in. Oh, it makes my shiver when I think of it.
What?
Every kind of a man coming in and using your body there.
But they're not using my body.
I call people like that perverts, to be quite honest with you. You know, it's an addiction. You know, they hound us about...
But when you say they're coming in to use our body, you're almost suggesting some man is walking into a room and strapping her to a bed and doing whatever he wants to do without any consent.
Which is the worst, to be a prostitute or a smoker?
What?
Sorry, what?
Yeah, because they're hounding us all the time about they're going to change the cigarettes.
Well, smoking is bad for your health.
It's not that way. You make me laugh. You said if you give up if you give up cigarettes for your family. What about all the other
cancers? But I should give up smoking for myself. It's bad for my health. Having intimacy is not bad for your health.
That's just you. It's not everybody else.
But the reason there's a stigma attached to smoking is because A, it's antisocial, and B, it's bad for your health.
Yeah, but so is being obese bad for your health.
Absolutely,
so
absolutely. But having sex is not bad for your health, Anya.
Well, I don't know what it is.
But it's not bad for your health.
I don't know. Don't mind your
unless you wear yourself out and have a heart attack in the middle of it.
Sometimes well, where you're going could to go is another
could
thing.
I ask Anya a question?
Yeah.
Would it make any difference to Anya if man was to go into a bar or a club tonight and pick up a woman for a one-night stand because he needs sex as opposed to going out and telephoning
that's what
a professional?
All those one-night girls that go out and men and young men or women, whatever, when they go out, they are just as bad as you are, except they don't get paid.
Are they?
Yeah.
I'm bad.
Well, you're bad, Denise. You're bad.
I will have you know that I do not go out and seek one-night stands. I'd rather sit on my own finger, quite frankly, and if that offends you, that's too bad. But, you know, I'd rather find a nice boyfriend, which they're not really, there's few and far between. But, you know, people want to go out and just freely have a one-night stand, let them do it. Or if somebody wants to go, pay it.
I mean, I do understand what you're saying, Anya. I mean,
yeah,
if Denise meets somebody and is kind of falling in love or whatever it happens to be, and all of a sudden she says, I'm a prostitute, I can understand. You're right, Anya. There is a stigma attached to it. But the point is, we've created the stigma by making it illegal and by saying there's some sort of taboo around it. You're creating that stigma.
I don't care.
I know you don't care. I'm well aware you don't care. Because you have a moral compass. And I respect your moral compass.
Without that at all.
No, that's what it is. Well, okay.
Let me
word it to you like this. I respect your views on life. I respect that you don't think it's right. I respect the belief that you believe it's shameful and that you believe a woman shouldn't do that to her body. I respect all that. So why can't you respect the moral compasses of others?
I don't care what other people do, but I don't like it to be legalised. All right, are these girls that go just to pay for their university or something like that, you know?
Yeah, they do. It's a job. It's a job to them.
A job? It's a weird job. You want to think of something better than that.
Well, it's an unusual job, certainly, yeah. I'll grant you that.
Very unusual job.
Yeah, but you said, I'm looking at the comment on the screen here. It says, Anya says, it should not be legal. It is not good and an honest day's work. What's dishonest about what Denise does?
I didn't say it wasn't an honest day's work.
Okay, well, what's do you believe it's an honest day's work?
No, it's not an honest day's
work. Well, then, okay. Then,
It's an honest day's work.
An honest day's work using your body.
Absolutely. And my mind, not just my body, my mind, the whole package. We all use our minds and our bodies in every aspect of our working life.
Yeah, well, you were probably, anyway, you're a non-believer anyway.
Non-believer in what?
God, I assume. Yeah.
I'm not sure I believe that there's an entity out there.
Well, that's it.
What's God got to do with this?
You don't think you'll have to pay the price when
you
die?
Yeah, but Anya, with the greatest respect, what's God got to do with this conversation?
God got to do with it because when we die, that got to do with it.
Why, do you believe she's a sinner?
Of course she is.
Oh, right.
And all the priests that abuse children, they're all pure and clean too, yeah?
Why do you keep looking at priests?
Because it's the same bloody thing,
that's the same argument.
You're making me look out like I'm a bad person, that women do this for bad people. Look at all the wrongs that some of these other people in these...
Can I ask you a question, Denise? How many priests have you had as clients?
I've had quite a few, actually. I've had a few of them. At least
they probably said mass. They probably said mass in your local parish, aren't you?
Well, they'll pay the price when they die as well.
Oh,
great. We're all paying the price. When we die. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing.
It's no one fun. You can snigger all your life.
But I'm not sniggering. I'm just saying, aren't you?
People on the streets who get kicked in the teeth because they've got problems, they've got
addictions,
they've lost their families,
you ever
and
think
you know,
of another
God
hobby or another job or think about something you don't have. You have sex on your mind all the
time. She could be doing worse things.
I don't have sex.
Sexual perverts, that's what you are.
But I'm not a pervert. I'm a pervert. Well, honey, if I'm a pervert, I should be charging top dollar.
I can imagine. Like if I, or your I family, also. What about your family? They know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gee, what kind of family is that?
What would you do, Anya? Do you have children?
Yeah.
Okay, what would you do if one... do you have a daughter?
If I had one.
Yeah, if you had a daughter, okay.
Yeah.
And she came to you at 18 or 19, now, obviously over the age of consent, right?
Yeah.
And was consenting. And was going to college and said, Mom, you know, a couple of the girls in college are doing this. I got my first client last night and I made £200 or whatever, or euro, should I say, for a couple of hours' work. what would you? And she said, look, I think this is good. I can make a bit of money on the side. It's my body. I want to do it. Would you support her?
No, she wouldn't do it because it would be her upbringing. I have 25 nieces.
So you're saying Denise was brought up badly?
There's none of them prostitutes.
So you're saying Denise was brought up badly?
Yeah, well, she must have been.
Oh,
not at all. Not
you
at all.
You must have been.
No. Once you turn 18 and you go out into the real world.
Were you born a Catholic?
Yes, I seemingly was, yes.
Well, then that tells all, you know.
I'm
you've
busted
changed over.
Completely. I guess I'm completely busted. I don't practice.
You're going to hell anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to hell.
Stay there for a second on you, Denise. I'm going to come to Dave after the break. You can text us at 53544. Should escorting prostitution, somebody says, nah, what about those girls who are brought in from foreign countries and trafficked? Did I say that at the start of the show? It's two different issues. Trafficking women is illegal and should be illegal, and anybody responsible, be they man, woman or child, should be put in jail for the rest of their lives. Let's park it. Don't be confusing the two. Organisations around the country, women's organisations, when they were talking about this legislation in 2017, did that constantly. They brought the two together or tried to marry them in some way to show us, oh look, all the prostitutes are only 15 years of age. They're not. The majority of prostitutes are not 15 years of age. The majority of prostitutes are not doing it because they've been forced by some pimp to do it. The majority are doing it because they want to make money. If Anya's husband admitted that he was with a prostitute, what would she say? That comes in from Inga. Whereas says, hi, Niall, is Anya married? Well, I don't know. I'll ask her in a second if you want me to. Hi, Niall, God is a fictional character, so anyone that says we will die or be punished is talking rubbish, says Martin. Oh my God, this is hilarious to listen to. Another person says, fair play to her. If she is happy doing it for a living, well and good. P.S. People do worse things in life and get away with it, says Jerry. Another person said, a friend of mine, his wife would allow him to go to a prostitute rather than actually have an affair because she has decided she no longer wants to have sex but likes to pretend all is good in the marriage. It should be made legal. Irish women can be too judgmental in work and it can't come on the air. Somebody else says, now ask Anya about Mary Magdalene. Yes, of course, Mary Magdalene was the one who was being stoned, wasn't she? And Jesus turned around allegedly and said, let those who haven't sinned cast the first stone. I'll come back to that woman, Anya, in a second if you want to be all religious about it. Another person says, agree or disagree with Anya, but the attitude shown to that lady by you is terrible just because she doesn't follow this liberal lefty concept of liberalising everything. No wonder conservative people in this country find it difficult to air their views on this kip of a country. Well, actually, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you'll notice I'm probably a little bit of a conservative myself, but I don't disagree with the fact that prostitution, which has been around since the dawn of time, should be illegal. People often say it's the oldest business in the world. It's not, actually, believe it or not. Technically speaking, stonemasons is the oldest business in the world. I think prostitution is probably the second. The stonemason probably paid the prostitute with the money he made from the stonemasonry. Okay, keep texting 53544. Anya.
Mary Magdalene, God said,
Magdalene.
Him without sin, and he said, sin no more. She gave it up.
So she gave it up and she packed it in.
Or sin, well, she packed it in. That girl there, she packed it in and was sorry. She'd be saved as well.
She'd be saved.
Yeah.
There you go, Denise. There's the way it's going.
Well, I look forward to the day that I'll be saved.
Yes.
You know, $1 million pension and a
Rolls
Royce in the garage.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be sorry for doing it. You can be sniggering, laughing now, but I don't think much of you, you know?
Mm. Oh.
So what about, you know, Anya being a Christian and not judging people?
Yeah, but judging, that's not being a Christian. I'm not...
You just said you don't think much of her.
My opinion is I don't like prostitutes.
That's fair
they
enough.
Don't have
do you?
To do that.
What about the men that use
There's
them? How do you know your husband?
Well.
How do you know your uncle isn't using them on you? You need to wake up.
And then you said,
sex
somebody
is a necessity for
a
men.
Husband. You asked if I had a husband, what would I do if he was out with a prostitute? He'd be out the door.
Would you?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be able to have another man because you cannot have two men in your life.
Yeah.
No.
By the way, Kev is texting and says, Niall, a friend of mine would like Denise's phone number, please. Just for a friend. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, thanks, Kev. Let me go to...
Good looking.
I don't. Dave, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Dave?
That's correct, folks.
Dave, I mean, should it be legal with no loopholes, no regulations? That's a suggestion, of course, in the Journal, in this interesting opinion piece that I read.
Yeah, sure, why not? I mean, women are doing it anyway. And I mean, the whole morality thing, I don't understand that. How is it more immoral to be a sex worker compared to somebody who...
Because it pertains to parts of your body which we consider to be private. I mean, you're not going to run down the street and nip because we have some sort of moral decency. I suppose it comes down to moral decency.
Yeah, but is morality not subjective? I mean,
well, it is subjective, but we all know it's not right to run down the street and nip.
We just had a referendum there to give women bodily autonomy when it comes to abortion, but yet a woman can't sell sex.
Well, I find it ironic, actually, that Francis Fitzgerald actually was campaigning for a yes vote, like most politicians were, and yet the same minister was responsible for bringing in laws that stopped women doing what they wanted with their own bodies.
So, yeah, and wouldn't that make it safer for sex workers? So at least that way they can go to the cops without, like, if something does happen to them, without fear of recrimination.
The danger is, I suppose, and we must really be serious about what Anya said in some sense. I don't agree with everything she obviously says, is that, you know, we do have a standard to keep in society. I mean, we can't just have a free-for-all either, because just, you know, I mean, everything would just break down. So do we want a society like, say, the centre of Amsterdam, you know, where, you know, realistically there isn't morals?
Yeah, but in fairness, I don't think we're going to end up with a red light district in Dublin. I mean,
if prostitution was legal, I mean, you would. Why wouldn't you?
But think about it. If you're a sex worker, what would you prefer to do? Like, would you prefer to sit in the window or...
Depends on the sex worker.
Or, you know, do it from the comfort of your own home. I'm with you.
Well, I'm assuming Denise would...
Of my own home.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are women, I'm assuming, who would be happy enough to stand in a window in a pair of red knickers and a bra. You know what I mean?
And probably. There are people out there who are a little more exhibitionist than others. I personally don't see anything wrong with that. You know, as long as you're, you know, staying within the remit of the law. Second, more power to you.
Okay, well, let's say that, because John, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, John? Oh, sorry, John. I need to switch on there. I apologise. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Afternoon. How are you?
Yeah. John, I mean, do you think prostitution should be legal? You're a God-fearing man.
Oh, well, up to a point. Look, people are going out every single night of the week. Like, men and women there, and they're just going off and working strangers. We all know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, one-night stands.
Yeah, what the hell is it? Is there any difference between what that girl does that night and then the lady that you won the phone there? Because they call her a lady, you're not going to judge her like a man. If she's doing what she wants to do herself, that's her own choice.
Well, Anya said she's a sinner.
When she's not, well, I mean, who's Anya to judge like a man? Let's be honest. I mean,
sixth commandment.
The sixth. Wait, hold on. I didn't know prostitution was in the commandments. What commandment? The sixth one?
Yeah.
What's that? Which commandment?
Adultery.
That's not adultery. She's not married.
It doesn't matter about marriage.
She's not with somebody. She's not committing any adultery.
The sixth commandment, sex before marriage is a mortal sin.
No, it does. There's no commandment that says sex before marriage is a mortal sin.
It's in the sixth commandment.
No, it's not.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's Dave, don't be minder. No, it's not.
It is.
The commandment you're referring to is thou shalt not commit or covet thy neighbour's wife.
Why did Jesus say sin no more then?
The commandment reads, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife.
Six, thou shalt not commit.
Covet is the word. I love that word. Covet.
Why did Jesus
it's a great word.
Say sin no
same
more
as steel.
Then?
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm going to hell, so.
Can you get back in down there?
Yeah, no coveting. Sorry, John.
Yeah, technically she's actually right there because...
she's not right.
No, wait.
Denise is not married.
No, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the actual sixth commandment. Like, if you dig into it, like, it just deals with that, I mean, up front.
What is the actual commandment? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife.
It is, yeah, but it actually, like...
That's not the sixth commandment.
It encompasses everything else, which is sex before marriage and all that stuff.
Does it? I didn't know that. I didn't realise they wrote more context into the commandments. I didn't think they'd fit on two pillars of stone.
Yeah, if
you dig into what? They were written allegedly on two pillars of stone by lightning from God, right? So, yep. I mean, the commandments were pretty basic. They were one-liners. There's nowhere in the commandments that it says prostitution should be legal.
Well, you know what happened there? Like, when Moses went up the mountain, like, God said to him, you don't look too well today. And he said, I have a terrible headache. And God said, here's two tablets.
Thank you for the little joke, John. The little parting joke today. Oh, you didn't find that funny. Oh, no, did you like the joke?
No.
No, didn't.
No, listen, can I expand on your phone?
Disrespectful.
Yeah, listen, has been previously mentioned there, the last referendum, the body autonomy, my body, my choice. Like, basically, the likes of Ruth Coppinger made a big song and dance about that. Mm. So if there's a red light house, bottle, call it what you will, opens up in our constituency, I should see... I'd like to see, and the person all there, Ruth Coppinger up a ladder, screwing in the red light, because she should have no problem, no, because she made a big song and dance about...
My body,
my choice, so she should have no problem, no.
Support, get out there and support the likes of Denise. By the way, somebody just says, finally, there was a question there. Oh, ask that woman, that's Denise, or no, not Denise, Anya. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody wants to know, could I ask you a question?
Yeah.
She says, and it's from a woman. Ask that woman, am I going to burn in hell because I have two kids and I'm not married and I'm no longer with the dad?
Is she with another man?
Possibly, I don't know. Didn't hear her life story, just like well, Moses.
If she's just two children.
Yeah, she's out of wedlock, but she had them out of wedlock. She didn't get married.
Yeah. Well, if she just repents.
Unless she gives them back, I suppose.
No, she doesn't give them back. You mentioned her sin will be forgiven.
Oh, right. Her sin will be forgiven.
Yeah.
Even though she still has the kids.
Yeah.
But what happens if she hooks up with another guy?
Well, then that's another...
That's another sin.
That's another sin.
Oh, right, okay.
You can't have two men in your life, but one or the other.
But the other one's gone.
Well, he has to be dead.
He's not dead. He's just gone. Okay, you're basically saying she's a bit conservative.
Proud not to be...
Oh, she said she's proud of it. Listen, Denise, I have to wrap it up and go off to Quincy News.
Okay.
I'm too late. Denise, thank you very much and I appreciate you staying on the air, all right? Thank you, Anya. Good day, Anya.
Now, would you start the Catholic Bible, will you?
The multi award winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio. 4